And if you want to be in on it, you want to have some of the fun, you get in on it. Today's U word, it's all about the U, remember, is univision. Univision being one thing that you think about. What I want to suggest to you is that Christianity is not about a lot of things, it is about one thing. And when you learn that, you can actually do it well. What Satan does is he comes and he makes it about a lot of things. It's not about a lot of things. It's about one thing. And that's what we want to be able to grasp. It makes it so simple when you get this idea into your head. I have one thing to do today. One thing. Honor God. Listen to him. That's it. The rest of everything else in life is dependent upon that one thing. Univision is the word.
Univision.
Effective leaders understand a single purpose of life, bonding with God, causing others to bond with them. That's what we do. I want to bond with him. I want to enjoy God. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you. What is that speaking of? Before you were born, I had a plan for your life. So if you were to extrapolate that, God would say to you, look, there's a plan. And if you're in God's plan, by the way, then you belong here this summer. And even if you're not in God's plan, he has a way of making whatever plan work if you stop in the middle of it and come back to him. So that's the fun part about God, because his goal is not to have you be a loser. His goal is to have you be a winner. That's the goal. And he can do that anywhere. But if you're where God wants you to be, see, there's this plan that's being unfolded. And so you can be singular in your thought, in your vision. God, you're working on me. There's a plan. I need to continue to be in that plan. I knew you before I was born. Before you were born. Set you apart to do what? To be my spokesman to the world. Is Jeremiah still speaking to the world? Yeah, he is. Anyone who wants to look at the book, he still is. God said, here's my plan. I want you to do it. How many people listen to him, actually? Not very many. How many people listen to him today? Probably not very many. Philippians 3:13-14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not as I should be. He's saying, you know, I'm not as what I should be yet. But I am focusing all my energies on one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Let me ask you. You may not even realize this, but there's things in your life that hold you back. Things in your past that hold you back from going to where you should go today. You know what he's saying? I have to concentrate on not looking at those. I have to concentrate on looking at where I'm going. Why? You know how important it was to him? He wrote this and said, there's one thing I'm doing here. All of us can disqualify ourselves if we look backwards. All of us can find reasons. Remember the Apostle Paul who wrote this? He was really Saul. He was a guy killing people. Can you imagine if you went up to somebody who had his credentials and said, God's going to use you now to write a lot of the Bible? I immediately would say, well, I'm a murderer. I've hated. Stop looking that direction. Every one of us are sinful bums. And in our past, in our lives, we've done things we shouldn't do. Don't focus on those things. Those things always disqualify you. What qualifies you in the first place? God, look at him. Jesus, look at him. Don't look at the obstacle. Look at God and look at Jesus. You can all look at things you're not good at. If you're going to have an experience in life like I've had, you're going to find that God puts you in places that you're totally unqualified for and then wants you to leave. And what happens? You just listen to him, and somehow it works in the end. Dear brothers, I'm still not as I should be, but I'm focusing all my energy. He's saying, you know what? I don't all the time do this way I should, but this is what I want to do. I want to focus all my energies on looking what God has for me today. Wouldn't it be fun if you guys today would focus on what God has for you the rest of this day here? That there's somebody you need to say hi to, somebody you need to talk to, somebody you need to just acknowledge. But God has a plan and wants to use you today for something. There were some kids this week, I think, that came to know Christ, right? Why? Because God used somebody, somehow. He used an environment, he used leaders, he used a speaker, he used his word. He could have used a horse, you don't know. They could have been out there and could have been talking to him. I have no idea. The truth of the matter is that God did something and either you were in on it or you weren't. You were looking to be on it or you weren't in on it. And you know what? If you weren't in on it, you missed out. Those who were in on it were in on it. That's cool. William Barclay described a woman named Edith who lived in a little world bounded on the north, south, east, and west by Edith. He said, that doesn't work. That narrow focus will get you in trouble. Every single problem I have seen in life, honestly, every problem boils down to self-centeredness. And it just demonstrates itself in a lot of different ways. Even me focusing on me to see whether I'm qualified to serve God, what does that do? It focuses on me. That's a problem. I am never going to be qualified then. What do I have to focus on? Him. Just obedience to him. Why? I am never going to be qualified. Why do I have to make everything about me? I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not... Why do I have to keep doing that? I'm never going to measure. So, if I look at him, I go, well, he measures up. Exactly. You're my family. I'll take care of it. So, great things can be done. Right. But not by you. By me. Cool. Acts 26:15. Where are you, sir? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now stand up, for I have appeared to you and appointed to you as my servant and my witness. When Saul became Paul, that's pretty direct. Bam! He's one of the few people that got beat into the kingdom. A lot of times people are talked to and they enjoy the process of repenting. No, he got beat in. It's like God met him and said, I've had it. Boom. I'm God. What are you going to do with that? All right, I'll listen. Good. Now you're in the kingdom. Let's go. Not only that, I'm going to use you and your talents and your abilities. And by the way, you're the least qualified person in the entire world right now to use for this. And I'm picking you. And I love that line where he says, I appear to you to appoint you to do this. Don't think, you might hear some people say, you know, just love God and do what you want. That sounds good and I understand what they're saying and I'm not going to argue with them too much. But I do think that when God looks at you, he goes, I made you for this. And you know, I would seek that. I would seek God and you would find that. Because when you find that sweet spot, it's like every day, the rest of your life, you get up and you go, yes, thank you, yes. God didn't make it so you get up and go, bummer, I got to get up and work. You know why you say that? Because it's not bummer, I can get up and just be self-centered all day and do what I want. And those are all indicators of us just being self-centered. It's like, yes, today I get to use my life the way God intended me to use it. And that's what energizes you. Acts 26:15, Romans 15:20. I want you to listen to Paul's ambition. He says, I have this ambition. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. My ambition is to preach the gospel to where Christ has been already named, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason I have so often been hindered from coming to you. What's interesting is it looks like, okay, he's got a couple of visions. He's not looking back. No. Put it all in one pot when you look at it. What the Apostle Paul is simply saying is, you know, if I'm going to look at why God put me on this planet, I need to look at it. If I look... Is that kind of like a phone? Yeah. If I look at my past... See, that's looking at a couple of things. God gave me this purpose. That's why I'm going to focus on the one thing. Not the past, not my abilities. And you can say it in a lot of ways. He says, but here's what you have to understand. My ambition is to preach the gospel where it's never been preached. That's my ambition. What happened to him? Got thrown in jail, didn't he? He won, though. Remember? Chained to this guy, chained to that guy. Looks, these guys never heard the gospel. My ambition is to preach the gospel. You guys ever hear? No. You ever hear? No. I win. And you're in jail. I know, but I just won. Because my ambition. Oh, yeah? Well, then we're going to kill you. Ah, you know, for me to die is gain. Then you're going to stay alive. Oh, that'd be good for you. All right. Then they go back to the committee meeting and said, how can we bother this guy? You can't. Why? He's only got one thing he's doing, listening to God. You think you're going to take his life? Do you think you're going to take his life? Now, without God telling you, you can't. So you're not going to take it. I can picture Paul right now going, you think you're going to kill me? Really? Remember the time he got stoned and was left for dead? What did he do after that? Got up, went back in the city, and started preaching again. Do you remember he was stoned and left for dead? Do you know what they do to people when they stone them and leave them for dead? It wasn't like they were all rookies at this. It wasn't like he wasn't stoned and left for dead. They don't even start with the head. They start with the legs. They break all the bones with the stones. They pile them up. He's on the ground. And the last one goes on the head and crushes the skull. He was left for dead. Then what did he do? Brushed off the stones, went in and preached. It's like, you thought you'd kill me? You ain't killing me till I'm killed. And only God determines that. So, there. Now I'm going to tell you about God. Isn't that a great opportunity? I mean, don't you think people would listen now? Jonah, right? Man, the guy looked like a guy who got thrown up by a whale. Probably all the hair burned off his body, all that kind of stuff, probably very pale. You don't think he had an audience when he went stuff? Because everybody, remember what happened on the ship? Everybody was, whoa, the sea got still. So they were already on the shore telling the story about this guy that got thrown overboard. 3 days later, he gets puked up on the shore. And he starts walking around like, whoa, that was an experience. That's the guy. That's the guy. You know what? He's not going where he wanted to go. He's going to Nineveh. If you think you're going to outdo God, read that story a few times. If you think that you're going to accidentally die someday, you're not. Nobody's going to ever put a gun to your head, pull the trigger, and it's their response. I mean, they took your life. That's not how it's going to happen. God knew that before you were ever born. If that's going to happen, and it's all set up already. There's nothing you can do about it because every human's going to die, and after that, the judgment. We all know that. We just don't know how we're going to die. You say, boy, that's morbid. Is it? Or is that real? I'm not saying that I wanted someone with a gun. Don't misquote me. I'm not. I'm just saying that no one's going to pull a trigger and hurt anybody unless God allows it. See, he made it his ambition to do one thing, and he did it well. He wanted to tell those who didn't hear. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace God gave me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Someone else is building on it. Let each one take care of how he builds. He goes, I know what I'm about. I'm about building, but I don't do the whole job. You know, when I teach, whether it be Nicolay Bible or here, whatever, here's what I realize. I only have a little segment of time that I can help all of you. And I don't even have a major segment. I just have a little segment. Somebody else has already poured into you. God has already put circumstances in your life, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul saying, you know what, I did this. Somebody else is coming. There's other things they do. What I have to do is be faithful to the segment that God gives me. That's all. I don't have to make sure I do anything beyond that or anything less than that. Just the segment he gives me. This summer will be good for some of you, and hopefully good for all of you. I'm glad that camp could have a segment of it, but it's not the whole thing. You'll never look back and say, camp is totally responsible for me being one who loves God and is a good husband, a good wife. You're never going to do that. You might look back on it and say, well, camp had a role. Well, good. And hopefully a lot of other places did too. Because then when you string it together, it's really hard for one place to say, look how good we are. They can't do that. See, there's just these little segments everywhere. Paul is saying, I understand the master builder is really God. I'm just one of them. And I lay the brick like here, and then the next guy comes and lays one next to it or builds on that. And so I need to be careful. Do you know how important it is if you segment the building to do it right? For example, if I'm doing the foundation, you know how important it is that I do that right so the next guy that comes in can build on that and it's done right? And if I mess up my segment, how bad that is because the next guy has to do all kinds of stuff to try and make it work? That's what Paul's saying. Let's focus on being, how do you be right again? You stay focused on one thing, God, strong who he is. I mean, if there was one thing I would ask all of you to focus on, it's Thursday till we meet Sunday, one more motivation, to enjoy God, to listen to him. And then that will translate, you watch, that'll translate into affecting lives, that'll translate into all kinds of stuff that you would never imagine it translate into. See, make your life about one thing, not about five things. Some of you are thinking, well, I gotta go to school, I gotta get a job, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Yeah, those are a lot of things. But what if you took all of those things and you made them one thing? All of a sudden, I just helped you simplify your life. Entertainment's in there too. Make it about one thing. When you go to entertainment, whatever it is, ask, would this honor God? Can I honor God during it? See, now all of a sudden you got one question. You don't have 10. You're not asking how many curse words I'm going to go. No, you're asking one question. Will this honor God? If not, what's the answer? Not going, because I only do one thing. And you know what? I think you can do one thing well, but I don't think you can do two things well, or five things well, or eight things well. I think you can do one thing well. I think we're wired that way, to do one thing. Univision, one thing. Everything should be about one thing. If you ever get married someday, it's about one thing, by the way, not you. It's about honoring God. If you ever have money one day, it's not about you. It's about honoring God with your money. Your work one day, it's not about you. It's about honoring God with your work. Go to school, it's not about you. It's about honoring God as a student. So all of a sudden, you only got one question you got to ask. And I tell you, everyone else is beating their head on a rock trying to figure life out, and you're going, I got it. It's about one thing. I'm just going to do one thing. I'm going to do it well. And in the end, it's like you enjoyed life. And they were stressed out all of life. Because their life became about sometimes about me, sometimes about them, sometimes about greed, sometimes about, see? And so they were worn out because they have all these segments of their life they had to pay attention to. How simple it is to have one thing to pay attention to. And let God deal with it. Same one thing. I love it. And the older I get, the more I enjoy that. Because if you haven't noticed, camp is getting more and more complicated like all the time. There's more buildings. There's more things. There's more behind the scenes stuff going on right now. I meet with guys and my head just spins when I'm done. I'm going, whoa. And I go, what am I about? One thing. Loving God. Okay, I got it. That's all we're about here. That's why our motto is to know Christ, make him known. Really, that's one thing. Looks like two. I mean, it's only one. Because once you know God, you have no choice. You make him known. But that's what we're about, one thing. The governor said that he wants to come and do a ribbon cutting here in July when we open the new internet. I hope he does. Why? I got one thing on my mind. I want to talk about God. I want to talk to him about Jesus. I want to talk to him about how good God has been. I want to show him firsthand what God has done. Why? There's only one thing we do here. Whether you be the governor, the president, the emperor, whatever. There's one thing that we do. And if somebody does come here, because I can't figure out why these guys want to keep doing this. I mean, they're going crazy trying to make sure Silverbridge Ranch gets something in the middle of the woods. It's like, God must be doing this. So I got to do my one thing. He just is one thing. But all I got to do is be obedient to God. That's all I got to do. I don't have any other pressures in life, just that. And those who take on more pressures, I think, man, they have to take medications and all kinds of stuff for it. Because they're taking on too many pressures. They don't belong to you. Let God have them. And you enjoy God. Just enjoy him. And know that he will deal with the people in your life that need to be dealt with. He will give you opportunities when you should have them. He'll provide ways for you when you need provision. And he won't when you shouldn't because you need to grow. But it's not because he can't. See, that's the difference. He can't. It's just that he won't sometimes. A lady was telling me the other day, she was driving into town. If you have driven into town, we have a dead spot on the phones. About polar. It's dead just for a second. I think it switches towers and something happens. And she was on a very important call and she was praying while she was on. God, don't let it cut out. Don't let it cut out. And she said, right, polar cut out. I said, oh, well. Yeah, well, God didn't answer me. He said, man, it was probably unimportant. I mean, that he kept it connected. He could have kept it connected. He doesn't need the tower, I mean, to keep you connected. But he probably just said, hey, it's going to split here. It always does. You knew that. You're on the phone. Here's what happens. I wouldn't blame God for not keeping you connected. If he wanted you to, he could have. So, he loves you. That's right. Don't worry about it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for reminders like this. I pray that you will give this group univision as they continue to serve you this summer. In Jesus' name.